He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is 6-6-23, June the 6th, and this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we kind of have a ho-hum market here so far. It seems that Apple's new product announcement, so far at least, has been met with kind of a yawn here. The Dow is down 53 points right now, and that puts the Dow at 33,509. The Dow continues to struggle to get through about 34,000. That would be a breakout for the Dow. It's been trying. It's been moving in that direction recently, but maybe it's going to take the Fed meeting next week. The S&P 500 is down 3 points right now, 4,270. And the energy stocks are not helping at all. The crude oil market is down $1.15 today to $71 per barrel, despite a recent voluntary cut by Saudi Arabia over the weekend. NASDAQ down 24 points right now. But there were some bright spots in the NASDAQ that I saw this morning. AMD was one and a few others. The NASDAQ is down 24. It's at 13,204. And the breakout continues there in the NASDAQ. Small caps look to be up a little bit today. Gold is down $3. The 10-year is at 2.73. And Bitcoin down almost $1,000 on more negative news today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, you're probably more suited to comment on Apple's. Are you going to run out and get one for your teenage sons?
that is not at that price. It is not going to be on the Christmas list.
What is it? $3,400.
Yeah, I undershot it. Whenever I think when we talked about it yesterday, I thought it was going to be at $3,000. It was still going to be not on the Christmas list. Yeah, I think it was $3,495. I mean, the biggest deal is obviously it gets them into space, and then at some point, right? I mean, I think, you know, they're talking about potentially selling 1 million units, which, you know, is actually I think about what they sold for the Apple the iPhone, the first iPhone 1. I guess it was just the iPhone then, but yeah, it's the differences will be what. You know, what developers can make for it, put in the App Store, right? And then, of course, as that revenue increases, well, then Apple would be able to sell some version of that thing at a cheaper price. They just got to build the ecosystem, right?
If I was wearing those right now, would the market be up if I wanted it to be up? Like virtual reality, augmented reality.
Mixed reality.
Whatever reality.
Trying to figure out. What is the difference between VR, augmented reality, and then of course I think Apple's been referring to it as their mixed reality headset. Does that mean I can see through it at some point and they'll just be glasses? I don't know.
Someone else's reality. Well, anyways, I mean, Apple was hitting a new all-time high prior to the announcement. Apple got up, let's see, yesterday it hit a high, I want to say 184. Which we mentioned, it got almost to $184.95, which put it within a rock's throw of $3 trillion. Now it's at $178. So since the announcement, Apple's down about $7 per share. It's given up about, $10 billion or $100 billion, something like that. So, you know, I judge the veracity of an announcement and a new product by the reaction of the stock. And the reaction of the stock is not that good. Market kind of took a break yesterday. You had all of that drama last week with the the debt limit finally coming to a head, finally getting the Congress to vote on it and agree to it, and the Senate to vote on it and agree to it. And there just wasn't a whole lot of catalyst yesterday. Earnings season basically over. We're getting a few reports here and there, but we're kind of in a little bit of a gap in between the news cycle for the market. It'll pick up next week.
As we get to Minneapolis.
Yeah, with the Fed, they will be announcing their next move. And most people think another quarter of a point rate hike. That's about a 78% probability, or was it the other way? I can't remember.
Yeah, 78. Well, at the end of the week, last week or early yesterday morning, it was 78% chance of a pause.
Oh, okay, all right.
Or skip.
Yeah.
Skip, whichever way you want to cut.
And that's flip-flopped a few times, so anyways.
Right, yeah.
And that widening out of the market, which I witnessed on Thursday and Friday, I mean, you know, spreading to areas like Caterpillar and you know, heavy industrials and the basic materials, et cetera, pretty much fizzled out yesterday. And we'll see if we can get that spreading out to continue here this week. And you also had yesterday some negative data on the economy. I think it was the ISM index or something like that.
Yeah, the ISM services came in. It was just a, you know, expansion is anything over 50, and it, you know, came in, I think, a point or two below what was expected. I think 51.8 might have been expected. It came in the 50 range, just above expansion. And of course, you know, in the services side, it's important because that, you know, makes up almost, I believe, 70% of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, softening up a little bit. And let's see. Well, if we're looking to Australia for a clue as to which way our Fed will go, they unexpectedly hiked rates today by 25 basis points. And they also said more tightening likely.
Yeah, but unexpectedly is the key word there, you know.
It was not expected, and so I don't know if that's any kind of harbinger for what's to come next week. But Australia not only hiked, but they also said that expect more. And the Saudis now have twice failed at cutting. They haven't failed at cutting production, but they failed to get oil prices going. That just seems to hover in the high 60s, low 70s here for quite some time. I'm thinking that every time the Saudis cut, Russia probably increases to fill that void because Russia is so desperate these days, and that is their currency. 80% of the Russian economy dependent upon oil. Okay, big news in the digital currency. Wow, all of a sudden a major crackdown taking place there. Yesterday it was Binance, which, you know, took on a lot of FTX's assets and whatnot, tried to help them out when push came to shove. But now the SEC is after Binance, which is the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, for allegedly violating U.S. securities regulations. That's not good. The price movement, big drop in, it's down 1,000 today in Bitcoin because there's other news, which we'll get to in a bit. The SEC alleged that Binance and its CEO, Changpeng Zhao, who's kind of the king of Bitcoin or of digital currencies, mishandled customer funds and secretly sent them to separate entities controlled by Zhao. Binance has long contended that its U.S. operations operate independently from its parent, but it seems like they're doing the same thing that FTX was doing.
It sounds like at a minimum what they did was used their own depositors, right, monies as collateral. I think Bankman-Fried was making investments with other
people's money. Yeah, he was more flagrant than that.
You know, at worst, in this instance, which isn't good. I mean, at best, he's, you know, basically, hey, I've got this money over here. I'm going to collateralize a loan with it. You know, the money never leaves, but that's not doable in our custody.
No.
In our custody world, that's out of control.
Now, when we come back, there's another really big announcement here this morning on another major player in the Bitcoin space. And if I'm not mistaken, this is still a big holding over at ARK Funds, and it's getting clobbered here today. So Bitcoin, it seems like the government all of a sudden has decided to turn up the heat on Bitcoin. Of course, some think that they're paving the way for their own digital currency. Well, let's see who the next shoe to drop is here when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I am seeing some news in the sports world here. I remember when the AFL and the NFL merged,
right?
Barry, they had their own leagues. Our San Diego Chargers were an AFL team, and the Jets and the Chiefs and the Oilers and that. And the NFL obviously had been around a long, long time, and they finally merged. At some point, I see in golf, we're having a big merger. The PGA Tour and the Saudi Arabia LIV Golf are merging in a stunning end to a sports war. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, and part of it's another investment by the, by the Saudis, apparently, in terms of how the deal works. Apparently, they don't know. I guess they don't know what the new name of the entity is going to be, but. It's kind of be hard to get rid of that PGA Tour logo, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
You got to have something. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in those purses being offered by Saudi Arabia. That's why a lot of people jumped. Okay, well, and there's big news in the crypto markets. The second shoe to drop, I mean, the second day in a row, yesterday they go after Binance for mixing customer funds. Which is what FTX was doing, blatantly doing. And now today it's Coinbase, which is being accused of, let's get the wording here, and it comes down to whether or not Bitcoin is a security or not, I think, all right? It gets a little bit into gray area, but the SEC has filed a lawsuit against Coinbase. Coinbase is down about 15% right now, alleging that it's operating as an unregistered securities broker. So obviously, they see digital currencies as a security. And so, you know, Bitcoin should be registered as a broker-dealer, but it is not, or Coinbase, but it is not. They claim since at least 2019, Coinbase has unlawfully facilitated the buying and selling of crypto asset securities, the SEC said. The suit comes a day after the regulator sued Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, and its CEO for allegedly violating U.S. securities regulations. Now, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler said, "We allege that Coinbase, despite being subject to the securities laws, commingled and unlawfully offered exchange, broker-dealer, and clearinghouse functions And he said, in other parts of our securities markets, these functions are separate, but Coinbase has combined them all. So, I mean, this kind of comes out of nowhere, really.
Commingling is never a good never a good term to get thrown in with
that. Nope. Now, Coinbase has never been profitable. They've lost money ever since they went public. Coinbase, in the year that it went public, went to $429 per share. That's how high it got. It's currently at $50 per share. So it's lost about 90% of its value since hitting that peak in 2021. That was right at the beginning of 2021, right after COVID and all of the hoopla around the digital currencies. And these stocks are getting whacked today. I'm pretty sure that's still one of Cathie Wood's biggest positions is Coinbase. And not a good day for Coinbase, not a good day. And, of course, that's filtering into the price of the cryptos here today.
Bitcoin down, which was pushing 30,000, right, from just a couple weeks ago. And then now it's back to, what, almost 25 last time I looked at it.
Now, yeah. So anyways, that's the latest news on the digital currencies. And some think, I have always said that, in my opinion, the biggest risk to Bitcoin and the others, Ethereum, et cetera, is the U.S. government creating their own digital currency, which has been tossed around a lot. I think at some point it's inevitable. I mean, China has theirs, but anyways, they are going after these cryptocurrency dealers. Okay, narrow market proving a headwind for mutual funds. Well, by nature, a mutual fund, basically, in today's world, most mutual funds, growth funds, basically mimic the S&P 500, okay? They'll vary just a little bit from that, not much, trying to beat the S&P by a few points. But it seems like they don't want to stray much from the returns of the S&P 500. And we've been talking a lot about how narrow this year the market has been. And so if you're spread out in all the sectors of the market, like the S&P 500 or like most mutual funds, you're trailing the market this year by quite a bit. The hedge funds, on the other hand, who are out to beat the market by a wide margin, are vastly outperforming the mutual funds this year. Now, there's a chart here that shows just seven stocks in the S&P 500 are up 54% this year as a group, while the S&P is up 12%. If you take away those seven companies out of the S&P 500, you're only up 2%. This year.
So it's seven now. I saw some stat with that where it was five. So it's take out seven from the S&P 500 and you're down 2%, 3%.
Yeah, so here they are. Here are the nifty seven. And, this is usually not a good sign when the market is really concentrated, focused. I remember the nifty 50 maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Meta, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Tesla, NVIDIA. Well, we happen to be fortunate. We own them all but one. We own six out of the seven.
No Meta in that mix.
Yeah, you know what? And I mean, that's probably my own bias that I have against Zuckerberg. But, you have to kind of let your bias go when you're investing in the stock market. And but we own the other six, so I'm not complaining.
Right.
And that's just that is really a narrow market that you're seeing here this year. Probably the most narrow I've seen. Now, I remember back in 2020, the year of COVID, it was pretty much spread out, but it was still in the long duration speculative. And what underperformed that year were the dividend stocks, which then turned around and outperformed the following 2 years. So that's why a little bit of active investing, I think, is very crucial. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some macro forecast out today on the economy. Where are we headed now? We've got a lot of things off the front burner. We can focus on the economy and the market once again. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, everything went positive here during the break. Maybe we should take another break. Everything is green on the screen except for crude oil right now. The NASDAQ up 11, Dow up 5, S&P up 4. It'll be interesting to dig into what it is that all of a sudden is turning around and carrying the market with it. We'll do that in the final segment of the show. Just back to Apple for a moment here. I'm just reading some of the analyst commentary on their release of their, that's their biggest product release in quite some time, right? 10 years or something like that. And not really you know, kind of a flop, really.
It was more talk about the battery than anything else.
Yeah,
you know, it's their big bulky battery that kind of to it. But I mean, the iPhone was bulky at one point.
Yeah, that's their biggest release since 2007, so 16 years. Apple is cut to neutral at Davidson. Well, I think that's an appropriate rating for Apple at this level, $185 per share. You know, I look at that valuation on Apple that we have, which is updated every single day. It's a five-year valuation. I like 80% or better for new money over the next 3 to 5 years, and Apple currently has only 45%. So it's very pricey. I would call it a fully valued stock. I think it still has more upside over the next 3 to 5 years, and I'm not going to sell my Apple. By the way, it wasn't one of the 7 stocks, was it, that they mentioned? But it has had a pretty good year, and I would agree. I would just kind of rank it as a hold right now. Okay, Morgan Stanley, once again, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like they kind of embarrass themselves. They're looking for a 16% year-over-year drop in earnings in 2023 versus last year. I mean, there's nobody. There's nobody even close to that. If you did $220 in earnings last year, a 16% drop would put you under $200 in earnings for this year. And, you know, there's just nobody out there that's even close to that. Then they expect a sharp rebound by 2024. This is our friend Michael Wilson. Now, either he likes to be controversial, maybe it gets more press to be so far outside of where everybody else is at. Their base case for the S&P 500 for this year, it'll end at 3,900. Well, it's at 42 now, all right, and they've even said they see it going down to 3,500 as their worst case. And next year they see it going to 4,200. That's where it's at now. So anyways, look, I throw these out there just so you know. I mean, Morgan Stanley, obviously one of the big Wall Street firms, Them and Bank of America and Citigroup and J.P. Morgan are pretty much the ones, the big ones in the industry, Goldman Sachs also. But Morgan Stanley does say that the economy will avoid a recession in 2023. Well, Barry, that's not going too far out on a limb. We only have two quarters left.
Right.
This quarter is going to be positive. So they're saying the last two quarters of this year will not be two negative quarters in a row. But they've consistently been behind the curve, way behind the curve on their market calls.
Well, and it's hard to, I mean, and once you've been down that path, right, it's hard for folks to U-turn once they're
well,
once
you
got to
stay
right?
with your, yeah, you have to stay with your thesis. And, one thing that's very hard to do for most investors is to admit they're wrong. And I see it from time to time in Seeking Alpha. Where somebody, I've seen a lot of articles on why NVIDIA is going to crash and everything. This was several months ago. And then they'll write, I was wrong about NVIDIA, or I was wrong about this one.
Well, you can look in the comments part. You just get the AMD article that we wrote. I think AMD is up probably close to 20%, if not more, since we wrote it. But, at the time, obviously, you get some pushback, and then of course it skyrockets.
And the opposite of admitting you were wrong is doubling down on being wrong. Right? They double down on their thesis, which is pretty much what Morgan Stanley. She doesn't double down. She triples down. She quadruples down. It's just unbelievable. She's gonna now put out a target price for Coinbase of $3,000 by the end of the year or something crazy
if you like it at 100, you love it at 25, right?
Yeah. Okay, Twitter, U.S. advertising sales sink 59% year over year. That's according to the New York Times, which says they got an internal company presentation. That's a big drop, 59% year over year in advertising. Well, I think he's got to flush out. There's a big change taking place in philosophy there at Twitter. And the guy's been successful at everything he's touched.
And they have a technology issue. I mean, they got to figure out how to not put an ad next to maybe a comment that you don't like, which is those two things don't go, it's hard for those two things to go together, right?
Yeah. So anyways, that's probably why he got a CEO that her specialty is advertising sales, right? Now it all makes sense. Now, Priceline, which has been doing pretty well, which it's not Priceline anymore, it's Booking.com, they're going to use ChatGPT. Booking, it's all you have to do is mention you're going to use AI going forward. Booking is getting ready to hit an all-time high here. It's only 74 points away. That may sound like a lot, but this is a $2,712 stock. This is one of the most successful stocks of all time. I wrote about it. It was one of the 52 stocks I chose back in 2013. I made a bunch of unconventional picks in the book I wrote back in 2013. Priceline was one of them. They changed their name along the way. Priceline has probably tripled since I wrote that book. Booking Holdings to use ChatGPT to power their online travel agency. ChatGPT like AI, because I see their partner is Google in this. So that they'll be using their artificial intelligence. Tesla Nevada Gigafactory, they're ramping up production there. Panasonic aims. They're going to put in a 15th production line.
And that's for the isn't that for the batteries? Is that just for the batteries?
Yes, just the batteries at the Gigafactory in Nevada. I was talking to some friends over the weekend that work for Boeing, and he said they're going to add another production line, a night crew to kind of get caught up with the demand that's coming into Boeing. Dollar General's got a couple of bonds out. I looked at them. I don't think so. 5.2%. That's kind of where you're at right now. You're not up in the high fives unless you take on a little risk. But Dollar General got pounded here recently. It was down 25% almost, or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're going to pay a little more now to borrow money after the stock price has been hit. And then on the earnings front, you've got some so-so stocks that have reported. Cracker Barrel, which at one time was a very good growth stock. I think they're actually losing locations now and not really building new ones. They plan to open four this year, but that's hitting a new 52-week low, Cracker Barrel. Academy Sports, which was a pretty good stock at one time, but it's fallen on some hard times here. It's up a little bit, but it wasn't a very good earnings report. And then I remember when Chico's was a very hot stock, one of the hottest retail stocks of all time. That was back in the late 90s, early 2000. Now it's a $5.24 stock. They also own the White House, Black Market, Soma. It's up 7.2%.
It's the mall stock, right?
Absolutely.
All those stores are in the mall.
Yep. Okay, now when we come back, the market's starting to go positive here. What is it that's doing it? Is it this broad-based move that we were seeing last Wednesday and Thursday? Or is it those seven stocks? We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's a couple of sectors that are absolutely powering what move to the upside there is in the market today. And I would say it all kind of centers around the consumer traveling and the consumer shopping and the consumer going to their regional banks to get the money to fund such operations. Because we look at the Dow, just 30 stocks there, the Intel's the leader. Intel's pretty volatile these days, but it definitely has a bias to the upside. Intel was down 3%, 3.5% yesterday. Today it's up 3.1%. Just from my observations, it seems like any kind of weakness in Intel, anytime it sells off, there's buyers coming in. And I would suspect the deep value funds coming in. The semiconductor chip sector is still one of the best sectors in the market, even though Intel's one of the laggards in it. But Intel has promised a turnaround, and if you're an extreme contrarian, this is one of the more promising, I suppose, looking stocks. It's got to get through 34 to actually break out.
And what kind of news did AMD have? They're up 4% at
the
moment.
All of a sudden, AMD has taken off, and I'm going to look.
It could be. I know they have I want to say they have a conference this week where they may be announcing something. I don't see anything on the news yet, but. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look here on Seeking Alpha because AMD is starting to take off and is starting to carry. AMD, I would call the tech stock of the day here for sure. The only thing I saw was price hikes coming from Taiwan Semiconductor.
Yeah,
that doesn't help them at all.
No, but it's. I know they have some conference where they're releasing. Essentially, it kind of sounded almost like a. Similar to NVIDIA's presentation, right?
Except they came out with
revenues that were.
I'm going to guess there's two letters, two vowels. I'll buy two vowels here and guess that that's what's behind the move in AMD.
AI.
And I'm pretty sure that's what's driving it. Hey, we'll take it. AMD is one of our largest holdings. I'm going to look at a chart of AMD here. That's pretty solid chart. There's definitely some buying coming in. Okay, now, On the downside, it's these cyclicals that were, they had 2 days of glory last week, Thursday and Friday, the heavy cyclicals. They're down today again. 3M is down 3.3% here today so far. Now we look at the S&P 500, it's pretty much consumer and travel. It's big lots up 20% and the regional banks. Zions up 6%. Bed, Bath, and Body Works. I get those two mixed up. Don't think it's Bed, Bath, and Beyond. It's gone pretty much. It's Bed, Bath, and Body Works. It's up 5.7% today. There's also something going on at a stock that we've owned many times. Every time I buy it, it falters. And I have to pull the plug. Now it's on the move again. Paycom Software. That's a good one. I mean, that's the woman who was the real estate investor guru who's on Shark Tank. I can't think of her name, but she's a big investor in Paycom. I'm sure that stock has made her a lot of money.
Yeah, what's her name? I don't remember.
Barbara Corcoran.
Yeah.
Paycom is up nicely today. It's volatile as heck, though. Let's see. Kohl's is up 5.3. I'll tell you another stock that really caught my eye yesterday. The cruise ship stocks. Let's see if it was RCL. I think it's RCL, Royal Caribbean RCL. That thing was breaking out yesterday like crazy. And, man, I'm telling you what, people booking cruises. And also Norwegian, yeah, RCL is breaking out like NVIDIA. Okay, that's how powerful the breakout is. Now, these stocks were on their butts during COVID. And in fact, Royal Caribbean lost $18 a share in 2020. It lost $19 a share in 2021. Last year it lost $8 a share. But when they go to flip positive, you can see these stocks start to take off. They're expected to make $4.66 this year, $6.93 next year. And then NCLH is Norwegian Cruise Lines. I got to believe it's probably breaking out too. Yep. And then CCL is Carnival Cruise Lines. It's breaking out. They need a cruise ship ETF there. They're all doing well. And so is Expedia, which books these cruises. It's breaking out, and so is Booking.com. So the cruise, Marriott doing well. On the downside, Gannett, they've got a big strike. They're the country's largest newspaper distributor. Not a good business to be in these days. It's down another 11.6%. Dollar General's down another 4.9%. It's had its struggles today. And really the only tech stocks, I'm seeing three tech stocks as standouts today. AMD we'll call the tech stock of the day. Intel is probably second fiddle there. And then third would be Paycom, P-A-Y-C. And it's good to see these regional banks coming back.
Yeah, and okay. AMD, they speak at a Bank of America tech conference today, so that's that
rumors
that could, and that's what, you know, we heard a couple of weeks ago that they might have a big announcement at this thing.
There so may we'll be rumors on AI. Well, next Wednesday we'll be in Minnesota at this time, next Tuesday rather, meeting with folks. I'll be doing the show from there. I take my radio equipment wherever I go, you can check to see if there's any appointments left. I'll be getting my final update here today from my crew. But we'll be there Tuesday and Wednesday at the Radisson Blue Mall of America and meeting with folks for 2 days.
Bring your checkbook and charge card.
Yeah, exactly, for all those nice stores out there. There is a Shake Shack there. I've been to the Shake Shack. Anyways, if you'd like to make an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. I don't know what it is, but our featured stocks that we feature every week in our newsletter. You ought to see the one we featured on Saturday. It's taking off today. It's up 5.1% in a massive breakout. If you're not getting the weekly newsletter, shame on you. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.